turn to the book of Hebrews and chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. And we'll start reading there in a few verses. Verse number 25, 26, and 27 we will be reading. And I want to preach to you today on this subject, things that remain unshaken. Does it seem like to you that our world is being put in a sack and shaken up, kind of like we do sometimes when we want to dust our fish with cornmeal before we fry them? It seems like this world is being shaken right now. I know that our political system is being shaken. I know that our financial system is being shaken. It just seems like families are being shaken. There's just so many things that are being shaken. But I have to say this while I'm just coasting here for a moment. The Word of God has remained the same. And the Word of God will remain the same and will not be shaken. And there's some things that God has given us from the Word of God, some promises that we have latched on to, and thank God they have not been shaken, will not be shaken, and we will enter into God's heaven with them. But there are some things that are being shaken. Verse number 25, let's read here. He said, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh." Now, I want to ask you this question. Who is him that speaketh from the pages of the Word of God? It's God. God speaks to us, his children, through his word. Amen. And he said, "For if," now he uses an example here, and he says, "For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth," and of course there's many illustrations here of one I could say that he opened the earth and swallowed them when they refused him. "And that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." Now, verse 26, he says, "Whose voice then," notice, "shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying," and I wish you would, if you take notes or if you take a pen or pencil and mark in your Bible, I wish you would mark this phrase here. It's highly important for the message today, where he says, "Yet once more." That is a very important statement. He said, "Yet once more, I shake not the earth only." Hold it. He's saying that he's going to shake something else besides the earth, but also heaven. He said, "I'm going to shake up heaven and earth," or in this case, earth and heaven. And this word, here's our phrase again. Please mark it one more time. Yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now notice he's talking about two things here. He's talking about there are some things that can be and will be shaken on earth and in heaven. But then he comes back at the end of verse number 27 and he says, but there are some things that cannot be shaken and will never be shaken. Now, the epistle of Hebrews here, let me just give you a little background here as introduction into the message, is written to the Christian Jew, to the Jews that have accepted Christ as their personal Savior. In other words, they are saved like you and I. I call them today. There are Jews that are saved today. I call them completed Jews because they're not complete. No person is complete, I don't think, outside the Lord Jesus Christ, because he died for all men on the face of this earth. So it's written to the Christian Jew, and it's written to these Christian Jews that are having a hard time staying with it. They are actually thinking about most every day of their life. They are thinking about defecting. They are thinking about leaving their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because of the persecution that they are facing. In other words, I don't know. I remember very well when I got baptized, but when I got baptized, I was not the least bit afraid of somebody taking my life when I was baptized. I wasn't afraid that an arrow would pierce my heart as I come up out of the cold pond in March in pond water. And I came up, I didn't think anybody was going to put an arrow through my heart, and they didn't. But during this time, that was not uncommon for someone to follow the Lord in baptism and die in the water while they were baptized. So the epistle to the Hebrews brings us to the fifth warning. There are five warnings here. I wish you'd write them down. Follow them here in the book of Hebrews where we are, just by way of introduction. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1 through 4 is the fifth warning, and they are warned about drifting, away from their profession of faith. And then we move to Hebrews and the third chapter and verse number 7 through verse number 14, we see that they are warned against disbelieving. We could say disbelieving and doubt. That's what disbelieving is. And then we move to the fifth chapter of Hebrews and chapter 11 through the sixth chapter and the 20th verse, and we see that they are, and we are too, warned of degenerating. And then in Hebrews chapter 10, we find this in verse 26. You can go back, read these things, study them. I wish you would. Chapter number 10, verse 26 through verse number 29, And we see that here they are warned about despising. And then now brings us up to where we are here, the fifth warning in Hebrews 12 and 25 through 29. We see that they are warned about departing. And we're talking about departing. I've already said that, departing from the faith. So we see the author of the book of Hebrews makes a comparison. He is comparing here. We often do that between the old and the new dispensations. And he shows us the superiority of the new. Now we thank God for the old dispensation. We thank God for the Old Testament, but we really thank God for the New Testament, where he has completed the Old Testament in the New Testament. And we go back to the Old Testament and we see the law, we see the prophets, and we come back to the New Testament and we see Jesus, and we see him bringing us the grace of God. Aren't we thankful for the mercy of God? Aren't we thankful for the grace of God? So the greater importance, and Christ puts the emphasis on the gospel. Amen. Thank God for the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the greater importance here in our New Testament is emphasizing the gospel, and clearly points that out to us in the phrase in verse number 27 that I emphasized, that I want to emphasize here this morning, is once more. What does once more suggest to you? What does it suggest to me? It is suggesting and emphasizing that what has happened is going to happen one more time, at least once more. And it also suggests to me that this is, my mama said that. My daddy said that. Did yours? I'm going to tell you this, and they kind of put it this way, Brother Jerry, just one more time. In other words, I'm not going to ask you, did you ever get told that? I'm not going to tell you another time. I'm going to tell you, Brother Mike, this time. But after this time, I'm not going to tell you anymore. Am I reading this right? He said, once more, this is a final appeal. God has spoken supremely. He said, I've spoken from the law. I've spoken from the prophets. I am now speaking to you from my son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not going to be another one. There has not been another one. There will not be another one. There's one Jesus. There's one cross. There's one mediator. Amen. And he died once. And not like the priest where they went over and over and over again, but he went over and sat down, and it is finished, thank God. He has spoken in his son, Christ Jesus. Therefore, notice with me, the voice that is speaking here is divine. It is God's voice and should be considered in the light of this statement that is made. So the Hebrew Christians We're living in times of a great shaking going on because of their if they had just been religious, like we heard this morning in Sunday school, there'd have been no problem. But they were more than religious. They were carriers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were enemies of the world. And you and I today, being carriers of the Holy Spirit of God, the world will hate you. Why? It hated you. He said, is it any surprise to you that they hated me? Why shouldn't they hate you? Huh? And so because of their relationship to Christ Jesus, the world, as they had known it, was coming crashing down on them or upon them. They were, the world, as they knew it, was just going away. The world as I have known it. Things that I've known in my past. And some of you are much older than I am, and you remember things that I cannot even remember. And you see the difference today. So in speaking to this situation, the writer of Hebrews, and I always refer to him as a writer, I can make speculation, and anybody can, but I don't. And the sixth verse, this is being brought up right here. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, here's what he said, yet once more. It is a little while, and I will shake heaven and the earth and the sea. And the dry land. Wait a minute, he's adding to it. It's going to be more. The sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations. What did he say about the nations that forget God? What did he say? They will be turned into sand. The nations that forget God, the Bible says in the book of Psalms, will be turned into hell. Notice, and he said, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. That's what he prophesied in the second chapter of Haggai. So God spoke. We know that God spoke, and he spoke in history, and he spoke from history from Mount Sinai. And when he spoke in history from Mount Sinai, we found out that the earth shook. And then in history, we find out that the Lord spoke again, and he spoke from Mount Calvary, and all things that were not anchored in Christ Jesus was shaken on its foundation when he spoke from Mount Calvary. Amen? And so even the rocks were rent. I've made comment on that here before. And darkness in the middle of the day, not 5 minutes like we're expecting, but and not getting darker, but total darkness. According to the Word of God, there is a time. Here's what I want you to put in your mind. There is a time that has not happened yet, that is yet to happen. that is coming, when a great shaking will take place. And everything except certain things, according to our scripture, which can never be shaken, will be shaken and remain and removed from its place. Now notice with me in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 10. Here it is. But the day of the Lord, circle that word will. You believe that? Will. Has God's word got any excess baggage? Do you believe that what God has written down, that God will definitely work out? I believe that. He said, but the day of the Lord will come. How? As a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall what? Pass away. How are they going to pass away? With a great noise. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Notice, that's the heavens. Then he says, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be, say it, burned up. That's 2 Peter 3:10. Even in that time of great shaking, some things can't not be shaken and will remain forever. I'm saying what you have and what I have in the Lord Jesus Christ cannot, Brother Jerry, cannot ever be taken away with any fervent heat. It won't touch me, and it will not touch you, the things that remain in Christ Jesus. And there's a great shaking going on in our world today. I started with this. I want to say it again. Our, yours, mine, very civilization. Can I say this? Can I at least ask you this question? Are we living in a civilized world? Can you murder babies? Can you say there are 27 genders and still remain civilized? Do you ever hear any commentary mention anything about what God has already said in His Word? I want to know this. What did we do for 200 years before we had this discussion? How did we ever make it? It is ridiculous. Well, what do you say, Brother Brown? They need Christ Jesus. They need the Word of God. They are being controlled by Satan himself. Our very civilization is being shaken right down to the core, Brother Lee, of the foundation. There is confusion. There is collapse on the greatest scale ever seen before. And there are wars and there are rumors of wars, and there is fear that fills the minds of what could be. Our economic, our commercial, our industrial life, all has been and is being shaken like never before. Our political life, people are drinking. People are on drugs. People are spending money on trivial and transient things of life that will never last. Tattoos, piercings. Please, I invite you to my house. I will pull out my high school yearbook and challenge you to show me a tattoo in anybody. And my yearbooks go from the 8th grade to the 12th grade. And show me anybody with a piercing. Show me anybody with a tattoo. Show me any woman in a pair of men's breeches. And of course, no man in a woman's dress is in my yearbook. There is no such thing in my yearbook as cross-dressing. We didn't have any transgenders. We didn't have any in the field on our farm. All of our cows knew what to do. All of our horses knew what to do. All of our pigs knew what to do. I asked my doctor in his fish tank the other day, I said, is any one of these fish complaining to you about wanting to be a human? Isn't that disgusting? There's a lot of shaking going on. Things of this life that will not last. They cannot last. Think of what a shaking our political system has suffered and the general shaking that has entered the realm of religion. And there is another, and I'll quote it, church going up. I guarantee you, as we speak. But what everybody calls a church, according to the Word of God, is not a church. The foundations of our faith are being attacked. The Bible is being denied. And let me say this. Go find you another church. Whatever you want to do. But make sure the foundation is right. And if they are not practicing and using this Bible, this King James Bible, that'd be the last time I'd try it. They do it to me. Radio, they do it to me. Television, when I hear it and it doesn't match what I already know in my memory from my mind, it's gone. I don't want to hear anymore. They have no authority. Secularism has entered and been welcomed in churches. Catholicism and other, hear me, heresies are becoming more and more powerful, and the cry goes up on every hand for unity. Moral and spiritual values have been shaken so badly that there is an increase in divorce and immorality. And let me say this, not outside of our churches, but inside of our churches. and sex is degraded, and literature, it's not degraded in the world. Well, it depends on where you read, but God is the author of sex. For people that are married. Amen? And it's procreation for those that are married. But not outside of. Amen? When do you hear that? Where do you hear that? And our literature today is soaked with sensuality. There's a change, decay on every hand, and in the process of shaking. But thank God, some things cannot and will not be shaken. And we hear it. I hear it. You hear it. God bless America. But here's what I want to say. What about America blessing God? What would be wrong with those in our churches here in America? Let's just bless Him and praise God for Him. I won't have time to give you but one of my, I don't know how many I got, but I'm going to give you, I got one, two, three, four, five. I got five things. Okay, but I'm going to give you one of them, okay? I don't think I'll have time to give you any more. There's another side of the picture. Some things will remain unshaken all eternity. Write it down. Number one, the character of God Himself that is revealed in Christ Jesus cannot be shaken. It will not be melted down. It will not be ignored. Nothing can change. Nothing can shake the fact of God's being. Wait a minute. Let me say it like it is. God is. I could add and say God is faithful. I could add a lot of things, but God is. And that will not change. His being and His character, no matter what does shake or burn or get destroyed, the character of God will, in Christ Jesus, will not and cannot be shaken. His presence, His authority are always the same. Turn, Hebrews 13, verse number 8. Hebrews 13. Verse number 8. Notice the Bible starts out. Actually, it says Jesus Christ. That's a good way to start out, isn't it? Jesus Christ. Notice the same. The same. When? Yesterday. And today. And forever. And then Hebrews 1, 10, 11, and 12. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. I didn't have anything to do with it. And you know what gets people today is our lawmakers making laws, and those laws have been on the books and have not changed for hundreds of years, and now the laws they made, they're changing. Things that were at one time illegal are now legal. But hear me, and hear me well. Just because the lawmaker made it legal does not mean that it's legal with God in the Word of God. He says, they shall perish, but thou remainest. And they shall wax old as we have, as doth a garment. I don't have to compare my garment anymore. I just know my legs are old. And as a vesture shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. That's talking about God. God is love. And this character of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus cannot be shaken. When all else crumbles, this is still true. Another thing that remains, and I'm closing before I get to this, that is unshaken, is the communication of God that is received by faith. How do you get your communication? Same way I get mine. How did you get your communication from God that you needed to be saved? Same way I got mine, from the preaching of the Word of God. He's never going to use another way. His communication to you and to me, we accept and we believe it by faith in the Word of God. I'm glad while so many things are being shaken, that my book, my Bible, and my God, and my Lord, and the Holy Spirit is not going to be affected by these things. It's going to take, and it took it for you. Do you remember? I do. What conviction is. I remember as I set out where you were sitting this morning, and the Spirit of God by faith from the Word of God spoke to my heart and said to me, you are lost. There wasn't no doubt. If you die the way you are going to the devil's hell forever and ever. I remember I thought I was really dying of a heart attack. I actually wondered, Ashley, if people could see my heart beating through my clothes. It felt like it was doing this. And I didn't think I was. It wasn't no maybe so. What I knew if I died in that condition, I was eternally lost and without God. And I didn't come the first verse, second verse, third verse. I don't know how many I waited. But I know I used to wait there and wish to God they wouldn't keep giving them. But that time, I'm glad they gave one more. Because when I finally got that foot out in the aisle, the Holy Spirit of God kept pushing me. And I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. What a wonderful time. Now, I had a great time that day, but I've been kicking up my heels ever since and thanking God for my salvation. And not only, I don't have to serve Him.
I get to. And nobody gonna make me come back and preach again tonight. But I get to. Praise God. Do you understand that? Unless I'm dead or get killed, I'm going to do it again tonight. I get to do that. You ought to go home this afternoon and say, man, I ain't got to go to church tonight. I'm going to get to come back again tonight. If you can't do that, something is wrong in your spiritual life.